And joining me right now here on the Mark Mosey Show to talk about his big show coming up on March 22nd there at the Dr. Phillips Center in downtown Orlando. He is comedian Pat McGain. Pat, how you doing today?
Doing well, Mark. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, appreciate you coming on. Let's start with the obvious. How excited are you for this show coming up at the Dr. Phillips Center?
Oh, very excited. You know, I've actually been through the center before when I toured with Sebastian Maniscalco. So I was opening for Sebastian, and I've been there. It's beautiful. And, it's cool going back now to, you know, do my own show there. And, I'm looking forward to it.
How do you promote it? Like, hey, I have jokes. You should come. Like, what do you do exactly?
You know what? I mean, a lot of people have seen me before that, but you know, I just talk about my life. I happen to have, 3 kids and they're playing sports right now, which is insane because sports has been ruined. Kid sports is brutal now. It's been like hijacked by all these dads that didn't make it. It's like, you guys want to calm down? Like, pretty likely your descendants aren't going to make it either. And my son is playing baseball right now. So that's like kicking off, right? You guys play year round in Florida, though.
Yes, we do. Are you sitting there in the stands like, all right, don't become one of those dads? Like, what do you do exactly, Pat?
Oh, yeah, because it's crazy, you know? And the kids don't even really, they have all the gear. That's what I'm like realizing. That's why we keep signing them up, because we dress them like every kid's got their own bat, you know? It's like we got like, you've seen 4 good pitches, and your bat's $380, and why can't you hand it to the next kid when you're done striking out with it? They got all have their own $500. We had like $4,000 worth of bats in the dugout. We have 2 hits.
Are you going on the road to perform so then you can finance your son's Little League team? Is that what this is after a while?
Yes. It's a direct line. All of my automatic deposits are just wire transfers to league, travel, all the, that's the thing. You sign your kid up for a team and then they have a fundraiser 2 days later.
That's right.
After you give them $5,000.
It's okay, man. I completely understand. My question for you then is, cause I go through this, when you talk about your family and stand up, do you have to get permission from them? Like, is this okay if I tell this story about you? Like, how do you approach it?
I mean, now you have to give some thought to that, right? Everyone's so hyper aware now. I don't want to send my kids into deep therapy. So, but I don't really ask too much for it. You know what I do is, it's like, this is true. This happened. It might be slightly exaggerated. This is my take. And, I try not to ever embarrass them or make them, you know, misrepresent how they are, you know?
Do you go over with them like, all right, I'm going to Orlando. I have this hour special. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to go over the following things. And then do they give you like the thumbs up, thumbs down? How does it work?
They're just on their screens. They don't even talk to me really. So it's really, I don't have to, they're hardly ever present. They're in a different like portal. Like, they're addicted to the screens, you know. My daughter wants a phone now. She's in 6th grade, and I still have not gotten her a phone. It's like, you want a phone? Make one. You know, don't you know that there's kids your age that are making phones?
Do you send
with the times.
Do you just send a group text? Hey, I'm standing in front of you. Please look up for 3 seconds. Is that what you do?
Yeah, that's the best way to communicate with them. Text them from downstairs.
All right, I'll put you on the spot, Pat. How old were you when you first got a cell phone? Because I'm 41 now. I think I was 23 out of college, and I bought my first, like, Sprint phone that was like a flip one. How about you?
Yeah, I was probably 22, 23. I was, I think I got a phone in, like, 99. And that was, you know, and it changes you, right? Mm. And that's what we're all doing now. We're like, hey, what are you, 12 years old? Here's a phone. Studies show this is going to ruin your life. It's going to dim the light in you. That's what we're all doing. Like, hey, you seem like joyful and full of hope. Here's a phone. It's all downhill from here.
That's awesome. It says in these notes, and this is why I have to ask the actual person. It said Pat started stand-up at 31 years old. Is this correct?
It is, yeah. I started late. I was in sales, and you know, I woke up to the fact that I wasn't very good at it. Mm-hmm. And I was always like writing and putting stuff in a notebook, and but I never had gotten on a stage before. So I started going to open mics in Chicago, and then landed a gig at Zany's Comedy Club, and that's actually where I met Sebastian. And I've just kind of been, you know, clawing away at this thing since.
How long did it take you? Because I know it must have been a lot of practice and just repetition. How long did it take you to, like, it started to click? Like, okay, I think I can do this for a living.
Well, when I was a house MC at Zany's, that's a club I mentioned earlier and still going. It's one of the old, you know, classic comedy clubs in the country. Open 7 nights a week. I was there for, like, months at a time. And I was only off on Monday night, and I was hosting shows every night. And then every week, different comedians were coming in from all over the country. And, you know, I got to observe and just be in that world. And I think that experience really helped me kind of, you know, I was getting so much stage time. Mm-hmm. It helped me develop a lot.
How nervous were you the first time, 31 years old, you went up there for an open mic night?
Oh, I was petrified. I had a couple, like two people there that I knew, and I was not ready for that light. You know, when there's a bright light on you, like a spotlight on you, you can't really see the audience. Mm-hmm. So it felt really like disconnected. But it was fun enough, like a pretty good adrenaline rush to do it again. You know, like, oh, I want to try that again. It went okay. You know,
when you look up Pat McGann on YouTube, the first thing, one of the first things that comes up is you were on with Stephen Colbert doing stand-up. What was that experience like for you?
Oh, that was unbelievable. Like, anytime you get to do a late-night show, it just feels, like, validating, and, you know, it's a really great experience just to be. And then to be with Colbert, and I actually got to do Letterman a couple times, and that's in the same theater, so it was like going back and seeing like what they did to the Ed Sullivan Theater, and they really switched it up, and you know, Colbert kind of like made it his own. But it was a really cool experience, a lot of fun. And then you're like, you get to be on the show with other people, you know. So I was on with Sean Astin, Rudy, you know, and Mikey from Goonies. So like, for me, I'm like looking around like, oh, this is cool. Like Carol Burnett was there, legend. So it's like, it's fun, you know?
How do you attack that? Because I know, what do you get, like 5 minutes or so? Like, what do you try to do to approach where it's that, you know, it's that small of a time. You got to be very, you know, just to the point. How did you try to approach those gigs?
Well, I was just putting 5 minutes together, and that's, you have to like submit the set, and you have to submit like a transcript and show them like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what, how I want to use the time. So it's kind of a crafted set. So really you're just kind of cobbling together parts of your act that you want to, you know, represent kind of what you're talking about. Like when I was on there, I was talking about, you know, my kids being in school, preschool at that time. And, you know, my wife leaving us for boy time, which is like boy time, like they're 2 and 3 years old. Like, what the hell are we going to do? Like pull Kleenex out of the box, throw it around. Like, boy time. All right, yeah, make sure we hide all the strippers and blow.
You know what's funny
Mom
about that?
Back soon.
You know what's funny? You miss that two-year-old boy time, because now, what you said earlier, now you're spending $350 on a bat. You wish they were still two, right?
Right, I do. Hey, my wife now I'm divorced, so now that's coming into the act. So it's a lot of things have shifted.
It says you grew up in Chicago, just like I did, which this is why it's a small world after a while. What part did you grow up in the city?
I grew up in Beverly, Morgan Park, South Side.
Oh, so you have the distinction of being a very, very sad White Sox fan. Is this correct?
Oh, my goodness. It is a cross to bear being a White Sox fan. We have had our moments. But wow, it's a struggle sometimes. But yes, I am a diehard White Sox fan.
Here's what happens to me, and I want to get your thoughts. So I will tell people where I'm from, and they get like really excited, and they go, "Oh, you must be like a Cubs fan. I love Wrigley Field. And I go, yeah, I grew up by there, but I'm really a White Sox fan. And they're just, their happiness dies on their face. Does this happen to you as well?
Where did you grow up?
All right. So I grew up in Rogers Park on the north side, right by Wrigley.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I,
right by Loyola.
Yeah. So I grew up right there. But my dad
right
was
by Wrigley, man.
My dad was a Southsider, Pat. And then he brainwashed me. He's like, no, we got to root for the White Sox in this house. We got to do it. So I just don't like the Cardinals. I think that's what we can agree on. How about that?
I'm with you on that. It sounds like you had a great dad.
Are you also a lifelong Bears fan as well?
I am a lifelong Bears fan. I am. But I do want to go back to the White Sox for a second,
okay,
too, because a lot of people don't realize all the major contributions. You know, fireworks after games, retro uniform, or after home runs, retro uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started the All-Star game here in Chicago, like on the South Side. Like, they have, the White Sox have made so many contributions. Even going to, like, pay television. They were, like, I think the first team to do the pay TV. And that was, like, brutal when they first came out doing that. And then the Cubs were the ones that capitalized off of it when they were on when they went on cable.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. But anyway, the White Sox are just a much more storied franchise, much more history. And, I'm proud to be a Sox fan.
Have you ever gone to a Cubs-White Sox game before?
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes. Many.
It's the best of the best. From the standpoint, it reminded me of, I went for my 40th birthday. It was the best. It was a NCAA March Madness type feel at a baseball park. That's what it felt like to me. All How right. about you?
Oh, yeah. And when you have a team that is really struggling and you could, you know, beat the Cubs, that's a good day, you know? That's a good feeling. When we when the White Sox are down, they still somehow always play well against the Cubs.
That's right.
Those games are, like you said, like the atmosphere, every pitch is something. So it's fun.
We still have 2005, and don't you forget it, all right? We got the World Series, baby. Pat, what can we check out, like, for tickets or just more information on you, how we can go to the show on the 22nd? The floor is yours.
Yeah, go to patmcgancomedy.com. There's still a few tickets available for the show at Dr. Phillips Center. It'll bring you right to the ticket link on my website. And I'm excited to be getting back to Orlando. I appreciate you having me on, Mark.
Yeah, Pat, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with everything, and I hope I can get you on again sometime.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, man.